I'll try not to shout too much. Did you guys see the box up here? I mentioned it to Gary and he went and got it. I thought that was really cool. And I don't mention it because it's really a necessary thing, I suppose. Have we all kind of known each other for years and years and years? The question is, how many of these people are still around, and how many new people are coming in? That's the really good question. I see some new faces, and that makes me very happy. I pulled a few of them out here because I want to tell you a couple little stories about them. So one thing that happens in life sometimes is you got to stop and pray. So we're going to do that right now, okay? So Father, we just want to thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you that you always have a way of making our way prosperous. You're always blessing, you're always teaching, you're always using every situation, every opportunity to teach us, to reach us, to grow us into all that you want us to be. And so we just want to thank you and praise you for this day. Amen. Amen. So this little guy right here is my son. All these badges, okay? Sam Roberts, any of you guys remember him? He's 22 now. I used to bring him here in a car seat when he was a little tiny fella.
Is he named after the pastor of Lyons, Sam? Mm. By any chance?
Is he named after what?
Remember we used to have a pastor that came here named Sam out of Lyons? He was born here then. I just wondered.
No, he was named after Samuel in the Bible, actually, but... Which is funny because all my kids were adopted. I didn't even name him. That was his given name by his birth parents. This little fella here, Luke Roberts, any of you guys remember him? I brought him here when he was 8 weeks old the first time because I met him when he was 7 weeks old. And he will be 16 next week. And he is actually as big as me, if you can believe it. He's almost exactly as tall as me. He weighs 250, and he's 15 years old. And he is not a linebacker, but he could be. He just doesn't want to play football. His coach asks him every day, "You want to play football?" He goes, "I don't want to play football, coach." Here's my oldest, David. He came here for a long time. He's currently still in Colorado, 34 years old. Amazing. And there's this guy here. You ever seen this guy? Watch out. If you see him coming, just head the other way. So what have I been up to? Well, all kinds of good stuff. So you guys know I write books, right? You guys remember this one? Victor helped me publish this one. His name's in that little box, too. You guys remember that? That was 2009. That was 15 years ago. This one came out. I did another one. You might remember this one, Chosen to Forgive. That's about 8 years ago, believe it or not. That was the one that was really profound, has the whole story of my life, all the sordid, evil stuff that ever went on. Most of it wasn't my problem, but some of it was. It's a really good read if you ever want to get into it. This is one I wrote and dedicated to Luke. This is about 4 years ago, called I'll Be Your Father. It's really profound. Not simple or easy. None of this stuff is easy to read because it's all true. It's all the real story. This is about a year ago. This is called Salt and Light. This was a compilation of 30 different writers, and I was asked to be one. And this was actually weirdly enough, it was an international bestseller on Amazon in encouragement, Christian inspiration, and Christian life. All three. That was about a year ago, so. So, now you know. Isn't it fun? So what have I been up to now? Well, I just got a certificate of occupancy on a project I've been working on for 11 months. Finally finished the final inspection. That was amazing. Huge project, 32-unit apartment complex. We remodeled all the units. Did a whole cool thing in the basement, workout room, laundry room, office space, meeting room. It's been quite the project. So have any of you guys been to any of the Life Relaunch events? There's been some actually even here. You have? Praise God. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to require that each and every one of you go through this at least once, okay? And I'm not even kidding. You know, Coach Brian comes and talks to you. I think he was here a couple weeks ago. And he's been pounding this pretty hard for a while. You know why? Because it's amazing. It's remarkable what God does in those sessions. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care if you think you have nothing to work on. This will change your life, I promise you. And it's really, really important to do that. This is a brand new year. Happy New Year. We're in an interesting time now. Interesting season, right?
Yes, sir.
You guys ready to move into it? Because if you bring all your junk from the past, there's a good chance you're not really ready to go into the future. Sometimes you got to offload the baggage so you can fill your luggage with what you need to go forward. And that's where we are today. And I'm going to do a little bit of that for you because I don't want you to think that I'm just pointing fingers at you, because I'm not. I'm going to share a couple of personal notes, though. About 6 years ago, I got divorced. I don't know if you guys knew that or remember that. But there was a time, if I'm honest, where I could have probably used some friendship from each and every one of you. And that's not to chastise you, but if you thought I was running out and cheating on my wife or whatever it was, that was not the story, fellas. There was a whole lot more going on. I had a child who was going off the rails. And I don't know if you know this, but have you ever met a couple that has lost a child? Either by death or by drugs or something like that? Did you know that 80% of those couples divorce? Even if they still love each other. Because the painfulness and the memory of being that close together is a constant reminder of all that you've been going through. And sometimes you just have to separate from that. Okay? So if you want to look at me and judge me, that's up to you. But let me tell you one thing about God. He doesn't hate me because I got divorced. Okay? He doesn't hate me because of all the stuff I went through as a child. He doesn't hate me because I'm standing here before you right now. You know what he does? He says, something's missing. Something is lacking. Let me help you with that. And he will, if you let him. He will. Okay? So if any of you have judged me harshly or not harshly, I forgive you right now in Jesus' name. You know why? Because if I don't forgive, God can't forgive me. I block his ability to forgive me if I don't forgive you. Ooh, how quiet is it in here? All right. So I'm going to jump into something else. There's something I want to share with you from this, from the Life Relaunch. It's really good. It's a two-day thing. Usually it's on a Friday and a Saturday, full day. We've done a couple of them here. We've done some up in the Champion Center. We've done some in Arvada. And we did a bunch in, you ever heard of Fort Lyon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we went to Fort Lyon. We went in October and we went again in December. Two times. The first time we had 18 guys. You wouldn't believe the transformation in this culture, in this group of people who have addiction problems, abuse issues, traumas, being homeless for years, all this stuff. And you could watch as God just peeled years and years and layers and all this stuff off of them that they didn't know how to deal with. They had no idea. They didn't know that they needed God. They didn't know that God could show up. The first thing we did the first time down there, I did the second session after Brian did the introduction. The first thing God showed me, he goes, these guys, a lot of them have been abused by pastors. They've been spoken poorly of. They've been kicked out. They've been seen as, you know, dirty, filthy animals, whatever. The first thing we did was we said, hey, I'm standing in the place of that pastor that hurt you, and I'm asking you to forgive me. You should have seen the room light up, because they didn't trust us. They saw us coming in, they're like, oh God, here's somebody else hawking religion. I don't want to hear this stuff, this garbage, this whatever. All they want is to take my money or to make me feel bad. That's what they think. Well, guess what? That's not what God thinks. They were already expecting something awful to happen. Thankfully, God said, do this first, because this is the peace they need. So when I listened and said, okay, I'll do that, Father, and opened the door to them and said, God's not mad at you. Let's deal with this thing, this little thing. It opened their hearts and their minds so that they could receive what God really wanted to do, which was come into a place and give them some deeper inner healing, because most of them had no idea how to get there. They knew they wanted it, but they had no idea how to get there. And so the second time we went down there, we had 30 guys. And the population of the whole place is only about 160. So we had a huge chunk, and even some of the staff came on the second time. And each time it was powerful. And people were getting healed. And people were getting saved. In fact, 18 of them got saved in December. 18 out of 30 said, I want Jesus, because whatever you guys got, whatever this is, I want it, because it's different. I don't want the life I've had. I want the life that I see as possible. And that's every single one of us, guys. God wants to give you the impossible, the unexpected, the overwhelming. He doesn't just want you to have good enough. He doesn't want you to have, oh, okay, well, I've got this, whatever. That's going to be enough, whatever. There's something way more. I think we settle for way less, and I don't know why that is. Do we think there's some kind of honor in living in poverty or living in this low level of believing everything? You know, if we don't have a good life, or if we don't have something saved up for our kids, or if we don't work on the kingdom, you know, what are we doing? What are we here for? How many of these names in this box over here, and people I love, people that I miss, some of them not here, but some of them long ago gone to be with Jesus. What do you see when you look in that box? Is there a lifetime of joy and following the Lord? Or is it just, oh man, I wish I got to know that guy. Any of you guys go to Gene Brown's funeral? I thought a lot of you were here. That was one of the hardest days of my life. Do you know why? Should have been a wonderful day. Hey, look at this guy. Gets to go be with Jesus. What could be better than that, right? No. He gets to go. I get to stay. I miss that dude. I miss him every day. We used to go out in that parking lot, him and my kids, and we'd throw the baseball around. You guys ever notice us out there? Throw the football. Just talk. Just hang out. I miss that. I miss Fridays. I miss coming and seeing you guys. It's hard because I take my son to school every Friday. So every once in a while when there's no school, I can come up and say hi. But for the most part, I don't get to see y'all. Doesn't mean I'll think about you. Doesn't mean I don't wish I was here. I wonder how many other people are like that too. When's the last time you reached out to somebody in that box? Said, hey, I was thinking about you. Hey, I miss you. Hey, how's it going? What's going on with life? Are you good? Are you healthy? Are you safe? Are you joyful? Do you got something you need to fix? We all got to look at life and decide what it's going to be about, okay? Each and every one of us. So a long time ago, I had a father, quote unquote, a father. And the backstory is he didn't really think I was his biological seed. In other words, I was a bastard, and every time he saw me, that's all he could see. And that's how he treated me, and that's what he believed, and I think he believed it till he died. And so for a long time, we didn't talk to each other, we didn't bind, we didn't anything. But God has a funny way of working things out. So if you got a situation that feels impossible, let me encourage you that it's not really impossible. Let me encourage you that God could do something amazing, something overwhelming. He could make your life different. All you got to do is bring it to Him. And I'm pretty sure He won't do it exactly the way you want Him to. But you know what? He's going to do it the way that's going to make it work the best. And I got to tell you the truth. I got something I want to read to you here, and it's not easy to read. But this is part of the LRE that we do, okay? I wanted to give you guys a little taste of this. Not because I'm trying to promote it, but because I know that each and every one of you in this room would benefit from it, okay? I don't care if you've been walking with Jesus since you were in diapers. There's still stuff in there. There's still a broken heart. There's still wounds. There's still stuff, okay? Don't walk around like, oh, I'm the king of the world. I can do whatever. Really? If anybody should be vulnerable, if anybody should be honest, it should be we as the men of God. Because if we're not going to be honest, why do we expect anybody else to be? If we're not going to say, hey, you know, I'm really struggling with this. If we're not going to be open about stuff, if we're not going to be vulnerable, if we're not going to say, hey, I could really use your help, hey, I could really use your prayer. I got a lady right now that I know from our church that's in surgery right now. So, Father, we just want to lift her up to you, ask you to cover her with comfort and joy. She's had cancer for 6 years. Every day is a battle for her, every single day. But she doesn't give up. And she's open enough, she's honest enough to say, hey, this is really scaring me this time, so I need prayer. That's how we can all be, right? Amen? Do you need prayer? I do. I need a lot of it today, because I'm about to read you something that I don't want to read you. But guess what? God knows what you need to know. So some of the things that we do in the LRE are we take things and we turn them into something else. Here's a short little example. So sometimes we believe lies in our lives, and here's some of the lies that you may believe or that we may believe. Here's a good one. I'm not worthy of love. You want to talk to a group of addicts about how they feel unworthy? Wow. Watch the whole room go silent, and they're all just like, their eyes get big, and they're just like, what? The truth is, I'm more than worthy. Why? Because Jesus died for me. And they go, really? Yeah, really. Maybe they never heard that. Maybe they never believed it. Did you guys ever hear that? Did you ever believe it? The value of something is determined by what you're willing to pay for it? Well, Jesus paid with his life for you. Doesn't that make you valuable? Doesn't that make you worthy? Doesn't that make you something amazing, something wonderful, something remarkable? A lot of people have never heard that. In fact, I guarantee you're going to walk past people today that have never heard that. And each and every one of you have your own gift. Maybe you're an evangelist. Maybe you can just pray for people. You don't even have to tell them you're praying for them. I heard that's okay. You don't have to have permission to pray for somebody. You can pray for them even if they don't want you to. You know why? Because God wants to hear from you. And he wants to encourage you. He wants to lift you up. And he can do the same with them. Now, one of the things that we do is we write a letter. And if you didn't have a father in your life, There's a few times where we hit on that particular issue in the LRE, and it's really good, it's really profound, but it's really not easy to go there for a lot of guys because it's a difficult place. And I was one of them because I had a whole lifetime of hatred and scorn from my father, quote unquote. But the ironic thing about that is, if you want to read it, there's a story in this book, and there's 30 different authors, like I told you. There's a story in this book that talks about the last time I saw my dad alive. And I'll leave it here if you guys want to share it, if you want to read it. I promise you, you will never be the same again if you read that story. I promise. Not because I wrote it, but because it shows you what God can do if you trust him, if you lean in and you go, I don't like this, but I'm going to go with it because you're God and I'm trusting you. This is no joke, okay? Check it out. It's good stuff. So this is the letter from my birth father that I never got, okay? So one of the things that you do in this exercise is you write a letter from your father to you. This is what you wanted to hear from your father, and you write it. Now, for me, I didn't write it from my earthly father. I wrote it from my birth father. And the only reason I believe that he's probably right is because one day my little stepsister and he were in the car driving, and they were going down this road, whatever, and there was a billboard. And my dad pointed to it, and he goes, look, there's Rick's dad on the billboard. Because apparently he was running for sheriff in the county that we lived in. Apparently he didn't win, because I looked up all the old sheriffs and I didn't see anybody that looked like me. But maybe he's there somewhere. But I thought that was really interesting. And I only found that out a few years ago. She told me that. And I was like, wow. Because I had lost touch with her for a long time, like 25, 30 years. But see, God gives you little pieces along the way, little clues. So here's the letter. This is from my birth father. I wrote this in August of last year, the first time I went through this, the LRE. We did about 9 or 10 of them last year. It's a really good program. So next time it comes here, could you please come? Do me a favor and come. I don't care if you don't want to. I don't care if you think it's a waste of time. I don't even care if you like me. I don't care. But do it for yourself. And let God do something in your heart, in your mind, in your situation. Let him see, show you something different, okay? Please? Here's the letter. Hey, Rick. I love you, son. You have what it takes. It's already inside you. There's a great life in front of you. You are a precious treasure, and I'm glad you're my son. Remember, I love you. I haven't been perfect, and I'm sorry I couldn't meet you in person long ago. Your mother was beautiful, and our sin would have destroyed my family and your brothers and sisters. I know it's my fault. I was weak. And I put all that on you instead of manning up. That wasn't fair to you. And I'm sorry I missed out on you. I heard things over the years about your books and sports and your school and your 5 sons. I'm sorry. You were worth fighting for. And every moment I could have spent with you would have been exceptional and amazing. It's the biggest regret I have, and something I can never make up for. I do have a unique thing I want to give you. It's a key to a safe deposit box in my hometown. Inside it, you'll find some things that no one has ever seen before, except me. There's a picture of us together when you were just a few days old, and some personal mementos of your father. I'm sorry that I wasn't more than a sperm donor to you, but I've also included the names and addresses of all your siblings. I would like you guys to get to know each other, see each other, tell your stories, and become the family that we can never be. I never intended to hurt you, marginalize you, make you sad or angry or feel rejected. I fear in many ways I have done just that. Please forgive me and don't hold any bitterness toward your dad, an old fool who fell in love with a beautiful bank teller but lacked the courage to be your dad. I love you, son. The best is yet to come. Remember, you are special. I look forward to seeing you someday. Until then, peace, my son. God bless you. Jesus save you. And Holy Spirit keep you. Love, Maverick, your dad. I remember one time I was speaking here and I had shared with you guys my father's blessing that God had given me once when I was doing prison ministry. I did prison ministry for over 20 years before COVID, and there was a day when I was talking about fathers and about fathering, and I shared the father's blessing. I don't know if you guys remember that, if any of you were here. I think some of you were. And there was a guy that was here that day, Ron Underwood. You guys remember Ron? Another one of our friends from the box. And Ron came up to me afterwards, and he was like, he was shaking. He was crying. He was 71 years old. And he'd been waiting his whole life to hear his daddy say something like this, what I just read you. Been waiting his whole life. And it wasn't until that day that he heard it. And it was exactly what he needed in his heart. 71 years old. And you know what? I noticed with Ron after that, he was different. He was different. Because the love and acceptance that God provided for him in that moment overwhelmed him and completely changed him in a moment. And he was willing to receive it. And I want you guys to understand that. You have the power and the ability to change somebody's life in an instant. And God will show you, God will lead you, God will guide you, God will direct you. Doesn't always have to be something monumental. All it has to be is, Lord, they need you. And he's like, yes, and you're here, and this is what I want you to do. So be willing, be available, trust him, and he'll lead you all the way. Amen? Amen. All right, Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for all of your goodness and mercy. You are so unlike us, and we so love you. Your heart is for us and not against us. And we are just in awe of you. Thank you for this year. Thank you for all the growth, all the wisdom, all the divine appointments that are coming this year. I pray that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear all that you're doing in the earth and open our hearts and minds to serve you completely. For your glory, Father, for the best of others, and for our best. In Jesus' name, amen.